Now I'd like you to bow your heads for a moment, because this word that has been sitting in my heart, it's been sitting for actually a couple of weeks, ever since the Lord had pressed me to do a little bit of research on Zion. And I believe the Lord is going to be pressing in a little more of this as we come to a place where we're not satisfied with what we have in God. And we realize that we can go higher because Jesus already went higher as the example before us. I want you to come to Ephesians chapter 4 with me, because we're going to be talking about his gifts to men. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Again, each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Some are going to get a bigger dose than others. Some, when they knock on the Lord's door and want more, he's going to what? Give you more. Some, even when they're pushed, will learn about his grace and his mercy beyond anything they've ever known. But when he left this earthly natural realm, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does it mean when he ascended? Means that except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. Confirming your word, my friend. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe with himself. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service. Did you hear that, Christopher? So your job is very clear. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I saw the word minister and ministry on that young man's heart. First time I laid hands on him and anointed him with oil, but I want everybody to keep that young man in prayer so that he will complete the mission that God has given him. You say, well, why is he so special? Why aren't you special? He's not alone. He's one of a group of this younger generation that are being elected by God to be lifted up before men. And they will be lifted up. Now, it's not me that's going to do it. It's going to be the Lord. You say, well, gee, I don't understand. Well, you're not supposed to be God yet. Okay? All right. So he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, etc. When I was back at Grace Church, one Tuesday afternoon, we had a service every Tuesday noon, and I was sitting in the back pew, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about Pastor Gino. And the Lord said, write this down. So I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and after the service, I went to his office, and I gave it to him. And he looked at me and he said, don't spread this around. How many know sometimes you don't want everybody to know what God has done in you? All right. I said, well, I'm giving it to you because God would not leave me alone. How many know when the Holy Ghost nags you and nudges you and over and over and over to do something, and you and I are usually a wee bit stubborn. A wee bit. We talked about that. Okay? But you finally give in and you do it. What happens inside your heart? There's a peace that comes. There's an awareness that you obeyed. On that piece of paper, which I've never told anybody, was the words, you are an apostle of the Father. And when he looked at the paper, he wanted surely not to let anybody know what he was and who he was in God. Why? Because God had already chosen, but I needed to know who he was in Christ. Because otherwise the Lord would not have tattled on him. Why is it that what God has hidden in your hearts is not always made public right away? Or maybe it's not his desire to let everybody know what you are and who you are in God, in Christ. Yes?
Oh, it'd stir up jealousy, and some people it would cause a fat head because they're not ready to assume that position.
Amen? Come again? Yes, it'll also make you a target, exactly. So I'd like to quote from a book that explains a little bit of the reasons why some of these prophets and some of these apostles did not get to be lifted at the time of their revelation. This is chapter 3 in a book that I've been studying for a number of months called The Unlocking of the Mysteries of the Kingdom, by Wade Taylor. It says, 40 years after the latter rain's visitation, in the mid-1980s, there was a fresh stirring of the Holy Spirit that came to be known as the Charismatic Visitation. Anybody ever hear of the Charismatic Renewal? Thank you. This time of visitation, which in its beginning was introduced primarily in the denominational churches, that was part of where I started, centered on an expanded understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So far, pastors, teachers, and evangelists and prophets have been restored. During the charismatic visitation, the apostle should have been fully restored. But this did not happen, as gradually, this time of visitation was rejected by the structured church. Digest that reality. I was part of that, and I watched it, and I experienced the rejection. It is a matter of history. When the Holy Spirit came upon me, I'm not talking about somebody else, I'm talking about me. I was in West Warren because my buddy dragged me there. I wanted to go, but there was a dragging going on because I didn't understand. And I went to a Roman Catholic church on a Wednesday night, and I watched God's Holy Spirit touch his people. I saw a church on a Wednesday night full of vibrant joy, reaching out to God, pushing into the heavenlies, and the Holy Spirit was being poured out, and I was the recipient the following week. I remember that the anointing hit my legs, and I could barely stand up to get back to my seat. And a few weeks later, we started the prayer group that 13 years gave life to St. Anne's Church in Three Rivers. We got pushed around by the hierarchy because it was never satisfactory to be in one place or another. It was consistent in rejection. We were not accepted in the cellar. We were not accepted in the school. We were not accepted in the convent. It was always something wrong with us. The structured church could not handle watching God's people get free. They couldn't handle it. You know why? Because we did not go to their schools. And I'm not trying to be critical, but we could not go to their schools because when it invaded Notre Dame, they canceled it out. When it invaded Steubenville, it got canceled there. Why? Because the hierarchy of the church could not handle the freedom of Christ and could not handle the fullness of Christ Jesus being established in his little people. The ones that are not supposed to know got to know him. I'm one of them. The charismatic visitation then moved into independent gatherings of those who were sincerely seeking something further. But against it came short of its intended purpose of the further baptism of the Holy Spirit, fire. There is another baptism that is about to hit the world of Christianity. It is called the Holy Spirit's fire. Instead, the emphasis centered on healing and prophetic words to individuals. As a result, came short of the interchange of lives that is essential for the full restoration of the apostolic. John the Baptist spoke of this Holy Spirit fire baptism, which is yet to be fulfilled. Last week I told you about Zion. If you want to be a part of Zion, you're going to go higher than you've ever known or understood. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you in water unto the repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. Say, and in fire. Notice in the following scripture that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, but the tongues of fire remain sitting upon their heads, as this baptism of fire had been reserved until the end time. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I will stress to you, fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as it of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This end time baptism of fire goes beyond the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the accompanying gifts and has a twofold purpose. It will burn away all that hinders the end time visitation of the Lord. And it will reveal the Shekinah glory of the Lord. Are you ready? Try it on. Say, God, when he releases his fire in me, will release an end time visitation. And it will reveal the Shekinah glory of the Lord. And I'm going to taste it. It's going to be for me.
It's going to be for me.
It's not going to be hindered by hierarchy.
It's not going to be hindered by hierarchy.
Amen?
Amen.
Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. But he who abides the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears, for he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, and what sort it is, of what kind of works you're in. Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. You say, well, wait a minute. I've already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I speak in other tongues. How many of you struggle with the stupidity of your flesh? Thank you.
Amen.
How many find that their soul runs away in the wrong direction when you least expect it?
Oh, yeah.
And your mouth goes off in the most unlikely places. Thank you. After the fire comes, that won't happen anymore. Because that old stuff is going to be burned away. So tell me, are you ready? Yeah. So, you know, Maria, asking for more of Jesus means more fire.
Amen.
More fire. to burn out what you were and to recreate what you are to become.
Amen.
That's the whole purpose of Christianity. To take what you were and to make you into something awesome like Jesus. So that when you lay hands on the sick, Christopher, they're going to recover. When you see them broken hearts, they're going to come back to life. And I'm picking on you. Yeah. You say, does this happen every week?
Yes.
Depends on who I pick on. No, I'm not teasing. But you must know, if you're part of the family, God adopted you. That woman that you chose, you know, that was one of our best packages. And you went and stole her from us, but that's okay. We don't mind. Hallelujah. Would you do me a favor? Would you close your eyes, please? Would you put your right hand over your heart? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
We're hearing there's more of you.
More fire available.
More fire available. Than we have ever tasted. And we're not satisfied. We want more.
We want so much more.
And we're not going to give in. With what we've had. We're not going to be rejected. Your Holy Ghost and fire. We want Him. We want the fullness of His glory. Manifesting through us. Keep healing me.
Keep renewing me.
And burn away the chaff. And bring life.
Eternal life.
Into my very being.
To
glorify yourself. Through me.
Through me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Enjoy your day.